From the Korea Economic Institute in Washington, D.C., you're listening to Korean Context, news and analysis from the Korean Peninsula. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Korean Context. I'm your host, Jenna Gibson. It is January again, and that means it's time for KEI's annual Korean American Day celebration. For those of you who don't know, Congress officially designated January 13th as Korean American Day, and that's in honor of the first Korean immigrants who arrived in the United States on January 13th, 1903. This is now the 10th year that KEI has celebrated Korean American Day by hosting a luncheon in Washington, D.C. to recognize the local and national Korean American community. Every year we choose a theme and then honor several Korean Americans who have become leaders in their chosen field. This year, we recognize leaders in science and technology, and we're able to honor three awesome scientists and engineers who have made great strides in their field. This podcast is the first of our interviews with these three honorees for 2017, and we will be talking to Dr. David Oh. Dr. Oh is a NASA project systems engineer and systems architect for Psyche, which is a really awesome project that you'll learn more about later in the podcast. He was also the former lead flight director for Mars Science Laboratory, which dealt with the Mars rover. So he's a pretty awesome guy, and we're going to be talking about space. We're going to be talking about what it's like to be on Mars time. So I think you'll really enjoy this interview. Let's get to it. Dr. Oh, I really want to thank you for your time, for coming out for Korean American Day. Congratulations for being one of our honorees this year. For this conversation, can you get us started by introducing yourself and some of your work?
Sure. So I work at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. I'm a systems engineer. I worked on the Curiosity Mars rover. I was the system engineering lead for the team that developed and delivered the rover's core computers and communication systems. And I was the lead flight director for flight. And now I'm a lead system engineer on one of NASA's newest missions, the Psyche mission.
Okay, so some pretty awesome stuff going on just in that very short introduction. I want to start off with the Mars rover project that you were working on. So what was it like to be working on a project that is so literally remote? You know, how being so physically removed from the things that you're doing, was it difficult to stay grounded, pun not intended?
So I spent 7 years working on the Mars rover, right? A decent chunk of my career. So it's my baby, along with another 500 other people who worked on it. We really feel like that rover is part of us. It's an extension of us here on Earth. It's a robot, but it's run by humans, operated by humans. It feels like it's part of us. It's just many light minutes away.
You were talking about this earlier, and I thought it was so cool that you put your family on Mars time while you're working on this project. What exactly does that mean?
So what that means is after we landed the rover on Mars, the rover has to sync up its time with the Martian time. It operates during the Martian day. It goes to sleep during the Martian night. But the Martian day is not the same length as the Earth day. It's almost the same length, but it's 40 minutes longer. So the rover looks at the Earth at 10 a.m. Martian time every day, gets its orders, does its stuff during the day, then at the end of the day, it transmits data back to Earth. And then we on Earth look at what we get back, and we send another set of commands to the rover the next day at 10 a.m. so we can operate it. So when we're synced up with the rover, which happens the first 3 months after we land, we have to come in 40 minutes later every day when we're working. So one day we'll come in at 8 a.m., the next day 8:40, the next day 9:20. And over the course of a month, you end up going all the way around the clock in terms of your work shift. So it's the equivalent of jumping two time zones every 3 days. And what we did with my family at my wife's prompting, because she's also an engineer, is we lined up the kids' schedules and her schedule with mine the first month after we landed on Mars, which is when they weren't in school. So they actually ended up on a schedule where they were also ending up awake at the middle of the night, sleeping during the day. So we took them out on our days off to go see Hollywood at midnight and Santa Monica Beach at midnight and go bowling at 4 a.m., do all sorts of fun stuff in L.A. in the middle of the night.
That's really cool. Do you get your kids involved in your projects often in this way?
We try to. I mean, that's a unique experience, a really unique experience. As far as we know, we're the only family. They're the only kids who ever lived on Mars time, as far as we know. But we always try and engage them because we want them to feel like they're part of the great exploration missions that we're doing. And to them, exploring LA at night is like, you know, feels to them like exploring another planet. But more than that, engages them and lets them know that, hey, we're really out there exploring a different planet, right? It engages them with this great adventure, which is the space program. And I think that's great for them, and it's great for anybody who can get engaged in the space program.
So speaking of kids, I want to ask you how you got interested in science. Was it when you were a kid? How did you get interested in becoming part of this space program? Did you always know that you wanted to work for NASA?
Well, I liked space as a kid. I actually grew up in Alabama, so I knew I was good at physics and math, but I didn't really know what engineering was until I went to college. So I think I was always just interested in science, math, physics, and then in college I was drawn to the aerospace program at MIT, getting to go build spacecraft, go visit other worlds, and I've been lucky enough that I've been able to stay on that path in my career so I can actually do the things that I got my degree in and get to do really amazing things with NASA now.
I'd like to talk a little bit about your current project, Psyche. What exactly is that? What are you doing now?
So Psyche is a place. It's an asteroid. It lies between Mars and Jupiter, and it's a unique body in the solar system because it is by far the largest metal asteroid in the solar system. It's 200 kilometers in diameter, so it's about the size of Massachusetts. And we believe, based on ground measurements, that it's made almost entirely of metal, 95% iron, nickel metal. So we're going to send a spacecraft there to go confirm this hypothesis and to explore it, determine what it's like, because we want to see, first of all, what a metal world is like. We have visited in the solar system worlds made of rock and made of ice and made of gas, but we've never seen anything like a metal world. So this will be a chance for us to explore a whole new type of world. And if our principal investigator at ASU is correct, this world was once the core of a planet that was forming between Mars and Jupiter, which went through a series of collisions with other bodies that stripped off the rocky mantle on it, leaving the core floating in space. So then we'll get to actually explore by going to it, not just this outside metal world, but we'll get to explore the cores of planets, like the core of our own planet, and the only way you could ever go and actually see one directly. So it's a really great mission. I'm excited to get to do it.
So, of course, the reason you're here in DC with us today is because today is Korean American Day. And at KEI, every year, we choose a different theme. And we honor several Korean Americans who have made strides in that theme. And, of course, this year's theme is science and technology. So I want to ask you a question that we talked about earlier, and I thought you had a really great answer for. What does it mean for you to be a Korean American, and what does it mean for you to be a Korean American in the fields of science and technology?
Well, I was born in Tennessee, and I grew up in Alabama, and I went to school in Boston. So to me, being a Korean American is mostly being an American with a Korean heritage. And having said that, you know, I bring with me my heritage, the values that my parents taught me. They came straight from Korea. The value of family, the value of education, those come straight from them. And that in turn comes from the value that's placed on those in Korean culture. But in terms of, you know, being in the U.S. after all this time, I think it's great to be an American, to feel like an American. One of the strengths of this country is that it brings all these diverse people together. It pulls the best people from all these other cultures, and they come here, and then they get to be part of this great country. I get to be part of the American space program. I get to go out and do things which no other country on earth can do. And that's all because my parents came to America, and then I get to be part of this great adventure that is America. So that's what it means to me.
As someone who has had a successful career and is doing all these great things, what advice would you give to young people who are interested in science and engineering and working with space?
Well, the advice I give to everybody who's interested, who's young and is interested in science or math, is if you don't know what you want to do when you're getting ready to make your decisions about what to do in college, and remember, most people don't really know what they want to do when they're 15, 16, 17 years old. Go ahead and take the most technical degree that you can, because these days, technical degrees open the paths to all sorts of careers. You can get a physics degree, and then you can be an engineer, or you can be a lawyer, or you can be a doctor, or you can be a reporter, or you can be an actor. I know people who've done all of those things. And the engineering or physics degree will only help you in those endeavors. Whereas if you choose early to go do something less technical, right? If you go get a humanities degree, and I do have a humanities degree, so I'm not dissing that. It's harder later to go back and become an engineer or physics or do something more technical without going back and going to school. So, you know, take your shot. Get as technical a degree as you can. You won't regret it if you have interest in science and math.
All right, great. Well, it's been really great having you here. I want to congratulate you again. And if we want to wrap up, is there anything else that you would want to say, especially here on Korean American Day?
Well, I guess I'll just leave with a note that I have the privilege to work for the space program and for NASA. And I want to remind everybody that the space program is one of the things which not only makes America great, but space technology has really transformed the world around us. Most people don't even realize it, but we use space technology every day now. Every time we find our location on a phone, we're using GPS satellites. Every time you watch the news on television, on cable television, it's all broadcast by satellite. Even the stuff that's coming out of the wire in the wall goes through satellites first. Weather reports come through weather satellites, intelligence pictures. All of that stuff is done through space technology. It's transformed the world we live in, and I think that it will continue to do that. And that's what technology can do. So technology can change the world. Science can change the world. Folks should go out and change the world.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us here and for taking the time to talk with me.
Thank you very much, Jenna.
Thanks, everyone, for once again joining us here on Korean Context. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Dr. Oh, and are looking forward to the interviews with our other two Korean American Day honorees for 2017, which will be coming up in the next few weeks. In the meantime, if you're interested in learning more about Korean American Day, we have a lot of information on our website, www.keia.org, and we have also done podcast interviews with many of our previous honorees. Last year's theme, 2016, was food, so we have interviews with three awesome Korean American chefs. You can find those interviews on our website as well, and I'll put a link to them in the description for this episode. In 2015, we honored Korean Americans in athletics, so we have some great interviews there as well. And of course, as always, if you haven't already, subscribe to our podcast and give us some feedback if you have any. And we hope to see you again here next week.